Hi there. This episode originally aired all the way back in 2008, and when it did, it had some segments of music in it. Since then, the podcasting world has started getting a little loopy with automatic systems trying to identify music licenses and stuff like that. And the systems often make mistakes, or if they don't make mistakes, at least they're very paranoid about getting sued. So to avoid getting pulled or getting, you know, unjust copyright strikes, we have edited out the music from this rebroadcast. Sorry about that, but you can always find the original files, you know, on Bitfalls. Anyway, here's the episode.
Should we do an intro?
Yep.
It's the podcast.
News, info, stuff from all over the sea.
Sign. The radio show with your host, Axel and Aki.
The podcast is back after we found out more than a year. Or is it nearly 2 years?
Yeah, it's almost 2 years, yeah.
We're back, and and I'm always the one to do this because I'm assertive like that. It's Axel of Brainstorm and other groups?
No.
No, just Brainstorm.
Who needs other groups?
Yeah. Brainstorm. The group which is known for being awesome with a gazillion musicians all making music. I still want to hear a release with everybody doing something at the same time. You have this, like, this concoction of goats.
Right.
Yes. And me, Aki, of stuff, Accession and Limb Ninja and stuff. And we're doing another podcast.
Yeah, it was about time, right?
Yes.
The radio show was missing for quite a bit.
It was. It was because we were lazy. Well, and busy. Well, I was lazy. You were mostly busy. With your kids.
Well. Yeah, it's hard to find the time, but we have to get this sorted for the next couple of
the weeks. We now promise in the new year, we will do a podcast every month.
Yeah,
it's a hard promise by us, right?
And if not, then what?
Then if not, then people might throw pies at us, demo pies.
Okay, what kind of pies?
What do you like? Which pie do you want to get thrown at you?
Chocolate pies, or pumpkin.
Pumpkins.
Things.
Or entire pumpkins.
Yeah, entire. That's. Yeah, like.
Do you even 20 get
kilo pumpkins.
In Switzerland. Have you even seen a pumpkin?
Yeah, we do, actually.
They're not exotic, are they?
Nah.
So we're already back as if we were never gone, like Beavis and Butthead. They've been away and they came back, like nothing changed.
So, yeah, what did change?
Well, what did change in the last few years in the demo scene? Let's talk about all the things that happened in the last. Well, not all the things, because that's quite a lot, but stuff that happened.
So that takes us 7 hours or so.
I don't think we ever even talked about the last breakpoint.
The last breakpoint? No, I haven't been there, actually.
You weren't at the last
breakpoint? No.
It was magical.
But I followed it actually via the stream, so.
Yes, we had a great stream. There was. Yeah, that's briefly because I was there doing the hosting and they asked me, and I really was like busy at work and I planned it. Time wise didn't fit at all. And I was like, oh fuck, I have to do this last breakpoint. Okay, last time. Mm-hmm. So I took the train to go to Bingen. And as soon as I arrived, I completely changed. Like, my feeling was, this is amazing. This is the last breakpoint. Why did I even doubt this? Like, mm-hmm. And it was a fantastic party. It was the busiest breakpoint we ever had. I think we had like 1,200 people in at one point.
Right.
We gave the 1,000th visitor a free T-shirt.
It was awesome.
That was really cool. He came and it was just like this lurker demo scene guy, unknown guy. And he came and I was like hauled away by Sarah going, this is the 1,000th visitor. You have to bring him on stage and announce it because we never had 1,000 visitors. So I took him on stage and the guy was like super nervous, like, why do I have to go on stage? And because you were 1,000 visitors, god damn it, my friend should have been behind me. So I was 999. But we dragged him on stage and then had a cheer that he was 1,000 and we gave him a shirt. And it was really cool.
Did he get a curveburst as well?
I think he got one. He might actually have gotten it for free. But it was an amazing party. It was like Scamps, two to four, sort of doing 8 breakpoints and never doing a bad one, basically.
Sure.
And ending on a super, super high note. So I still want to tip my hat to Scamp for doing that for that long and delivering always. it was a great party and had very good entries as well for the last breakpoint. We were very, very happy, which was the beginning of the particle hype. And I know you've been out of the demo scene. Well, you haven't been in touch that much because you have like 12 kids now running around.
Minimum.
You keep stealing them from the hospital, is what I hear. You should give them back at one point because it's not really fair. But you have you've been like this. You have seen this particle thing going.
Of course,
down.
Yeah. I've been following them, and yeah, they had some impressive demos at the last breakpoint. I was just checking what the last breakpoint had to offer, and of course there were lots of highlights like Agenda, Circus Forth, and Rove. I'm actually a big fan of the Rove demo. So
Rove is a beautiful demo as well.
And I don't know exactly what it is, but it has this feeling of having this positive end the end note, basically, not just because of the text or something, but that this the mood of the song coupled with the visuals. It's inspiring, and it's kind of, I don't know how to put it, but it gives me a good mood. You know, it's not a sentimental part, but just
like a positive. No, but I get that. Yeah, it's a very positive and very like it's like an end of an era. But and the music is beautiful. Wayfinder's music and very like technically interesting stuff. And I remember because I met Smash at Breakpoint and was like, "Do you have something?" He's like, "Yeah, I have a demo. I should do Smash." I was like, "Yeah, I have a demo. No, I cannot do it. British, I have a demo. No, I cannot do it. Do a demo.
Nice try.
What? You plonker? I met a demo. No, this is Scottish for some reason. I'm Smash. I'm from Scotland now. But he told me, like, I have a demo, but it's like I did it with desktop and it's very slow and we're not going to win. It's like it's going to wear people out. And I'm like, well, fair enough, but I'm really wondering what it is. I'm looking forward to it. And a lot of people made beautiful demos, like was the Panicube guys as well. And of course, the We Are Einstein, the Hungarians, and the Slash by Posse, which is always super fun. Mm. And then his demo came and it was amazing. And then Far Price came and it was amazing. And then Agenda 1, and which was very cool because Smash is kind of like has this view of him that he's a very arrogant, like superstar rock star demo singer.
That's the spirit, right?
And he is. I mean, but he won and he came on stage and he was really moved by winning the last breakpoint, and it meant a lot to him. And I found that really cool. It was something that is like I'm like one of the top tier coders demo scene, Bloody Blue, and he's like really like this is the crowd that when they vote for me, then this is people that know what's about. Like if they judge me, it means something. And I thought it was really cool. And sitting in a train back with Chaos from Breakpoint, and Chaos was like, yeah, he should have won. It was like our demo was really good, but his demo was like better. So it was like really this like positive demo scene, kind of like this stuff is really good and we're happy like either way how it went. So that was really
maybe we should play the song from there. What do you think?
The song from the song that spun up controversy. It was made by 1 in 10 and Blamstrain. Not 1 in 10, I'm sorry. It is 1 in 10. Varia. Yeah, Varia. Mm-hmm. And Blamstrain, who actually lives in Amsterdam and plays a coffee shop like every weekend, which is in Amsterdam, go to the Betty Two's in the Rechtestraat and like smoke a joint while Blamstrain is like playing very trippy music. It's awesome.
And how does he play that?
He has a laptop and he just, the coffee shop is like, it's a very small coffee shop. Like the room you can sit is like the size of your living room.
Right.
And he's just there on a laptop, like playing spacey music is awesome. And, they reworked a known track and they got this kind of like, the demo scene got kind of bonkers and copyrights. They go like, oh, you stole something. But the way they interpreted the song themselves, should have credited it. Fair enough.
Can we play them?
Yeah, we can play them. I think we should do a song from Agenda Circle 4. Let's just play it now. So we're back.
Yeah, awesome. Great song. Actually, great song.
Great song, of course.
Or so, great remix or what? Or just a great remix?
It's like a reinterpretation, like an edit. Yes.
From the, featuring.
I should then also mention, and I have them in my iTunes, the band that they got it from, which is the band that got, it's a Greek band.
Socrates or what?
Yeah, Socrates.
Right.
And the guy, the synthesizer guy was in it. Vangelis started in that band.
Really?
Yeah, he was part of it. And I can recommend that album, that the song that they took it from is off, and I'm going quickly now. Find it.
The song is Queen of the Universe, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're better informed than I am.
No, I'm just reading Puit better than you.
Don't say that! Go like, yeah, I know everything. I'm omniscient. Then we met at Evoke that year as well.
Yeah.
Good stuff happening there, which I don't remember because I was drunk.
You were.
But it had, of course, that one thing that I should mention, I want to mention, is the ATM machine demo that Howjob made.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That was so funny. And making it look like it was actually in a bank, which was like very, very cool.
Yep. Then what else? Yeah, well, of course, the...
No, we had, of course, assembly that year. Last year, we had the big, like, ASD versus Fairlight demo competition.
What are you doing in the background?
I'm just changing how I was sitting. My chair is freaking.
Oh, you need to get some oil on that.
Yeah, my chair is, like, falling apart. You should see it. It's like, I can't. My house makes noises. Happy I was just done doing laundry because I was going on as well.
Like from the previous show.
I remember that. Like, I should have to do laundry and it's good. But then luckily it's all right.
That was awesome when you were washing your stuff in the background and you always hear the machine like, woo, 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 woo.
It's my apartment is that's what, like, I'm afraid now to turn on my heater because I have this gas heater in my house. And okay. It's hot. But if I turn it on when it gets hot.
So you always get the freeze during the show and then afterwards you can put it back on.
Yeah, because it makes noise when it gets warm. And it sounds like a terrible dubstep track that Skrillex made. Like <it's> gonna... I'm not gonna do that now because it's gonna after people think, oh, they're playing music, or no, it's weird, and then they're gonna try to Shazam it and it's just my heater and it's all weird.
You should feature that. I mean, you just, we need to at some point have your heater on the show.
I filmed it at one point. I can sample it for you and make a song out of it called Heater, and then have it.
That's your task for the next show then.
Yes, make a song with my heater.
Yes.
Okay, but now we're turning.
Just so we're redefining what dubstep is about.
Yes, yeah, but we're gonna get to dubstep later because you, as an old man, have no idea what it's about. but first, you as a brainstorm, tell me who joined brainstorming the last year that we haven't been on air.
No idea.
What? Aren't you like the leader?
Oh, well, we're just at the moment it's quite relaxed, I must say. What are you doing again? Getting your heater?
I'm getting a beer. My house is that small. My fridge is like next to my computer.
Next to the heater.
Next to the heater. Not very good.
Berlin. That must be a tasty beer.
You can tell me though, as a brainstorm member, what is it with the goats?
No idea actually, because there's it just started at some party or something that someone screamed goat, and then everyone kept repeating that, and over our mailing list there were goat jokes about, you know, just for no reason someone would yell goat.
I would like someone that was literally like a guy looking for his goat, like he was just lost and they're going goat, and then that works, goat, and then yeah. It just became a brainstorm thing, and that's how memes get born.
In front of the big screen, I just remember at it was a Breakpoint, I think, and then Sinatra was always yelling like from back rows, you know, we were just not all sitting at the same spot, but there was someone sitting in the back, and I remember Sinatra being way back from the big screen, and he was like, goat! And everyone knew, like, where he was and all that.
It's all it is, because I remember, like, watching a compo and going, I think it was a truck, going, like, what's with all the goats and the goat trackers and the what is this thing? And it was this mystery, and then it turns out to be, like, a thing.
Yeah, well, how do you know these things develop in the scene?
That's beautiful. That's like how the catchphrases and the memes get born. And people shout stuff during silences. And people take their pants off, which is now very serious. We had Purix on the show trying to explain, and he didn't know where it came from.
Yeah, that was fun.
But I was at Trasak like a few weeks ago, and it's like, it's a thing. Like, if you don't take your pants off, you're banned from the party. And you have to drink more pepper schnapps and then die. But let's get to Trasak later. First, yeah, because Revision came... Breakpoint was done, and people were like thinking, like, "Oh no, is it not coming back? And what are we going to do during Easter? We're not going to spend it with our family now, do we?"
No,
so that would be boring and tedious.
Not you.
Not me, because I'm always like alone, crying in my beer, as I do. But yeah, because you couldn't make it, Revision.
How did you compare it to a Breakpoint?
Well, that's the thing. Like, there was because I was asked as well to host Revision, and it was a new team. It's also based on the old team, but new people as well. And it was like a new party, so they're like, okay, let's do it. And you have a big elephant in the room when you start because everybody's going to compare it to Breakpoint.
Mm.
But it's a different party. I mean, of course, some of the things are like very similar to Breakpoint. Like, it has an outside food court and like food and like bonfire and Kevin is still like head of the Beam team and stuff like that. But it's a different party. D-Fox and Styx made it their own. Mm-hmm. And we actually had like a worry of like how people are going to perceive it. So for the opening ceremony, we didn't have really an opening ceremony. I had Toby make a Breakpoint 2011 t-shirt, and then I had Scamp wear it, and then me basically going on stage going, so I have the organizer, this is a new thing, good you guys are here, and you have a hand for the organizer, D-Fox, and then Scamp came on going, yeah, welcome to Begin, we changed a few things. And basically immediately took out the thing, like, this is not Breakpoint, this is a new party, and then Scamp was sad and left the stage, and then all other organizers came on. You can imagine, it's hilarious. We have Purik saying it's Jasak, we have Havok saying it's Outline, Frankie saying it's Rewired, Benjamin saying it's Tom, Steeler saying it's Mecha Symposium 2011, and it became one big confusion, and then in the end, it was D-Fox's stage going, this is Revision, it's new.
Right, good idea.
And it was a great party. It was, I mean, the hall they have is fantastic. Yeah, you've seen the...
Yes, I saw pictures, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like the old Evoke place, bigger.
Right.
It's an amazing place to have the party in. And it's in the middle of nowhere, basically, on this like, industrial area. So you can make a lot of noise, you're not bothering anybody. Mm-hmm. So that was, it was a really like fun party. We had about 800 visitors, which for a first is great. And
right.
It was a bit weird that we didn't have the Cedar Road Awards, because they were held at the Gathering, which is also good for a change. And we had a bit, like, we had a connection, we were watching them, and then I handed out 2 awards at Revision. And we had a video stream to them as well.
Right. But, it's going to stay that way. Do you know anything?
No comment. I know people are busy. I'm not going to say a thing about Cedar Road Awards. I'm not actually involved anyway this time, like, until they need me to host something. So I'm not involved in the organizing or anything else.
Okay.
But the party itself is like, it was good. It was a great fun, and I hope to see you there next year.
Probably not, but
because kids or
so Easter is blocked for a bit. But oh well.
Is one of your kids had a birthday on Easter or?
No, but it's, I mean, usually with the younger ones, it's always fun, I mean, for them to, you know, search for the Easter eggs and blah, 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 blah.
So you can fake it. I mean, you can fake a different weekend that you do Easter.
Yeah, actually, I could do the in February or something.
You can do Jewish Easter. It's probably a different day.
Or, I was just trading Easter for the summer, so or to attend the party in the summer, and so that's why I'm going to Evoke all the time.
Ah, yes. Okay, well, fair enough. Revision is it's a fun party, but there were of course many other parties as well.
But what's with the demos at Revision? I mean, that needs to be the quality of them needs to be improved for the next. Or...
Well, the thing was, I mean, improved. Like, we're always happy with the entries you get, and we had great entries, course, yeah, at Revision as well. Especially in Mega Compo, was like we had the great Ghost Town demo. Mm. Great from the Polish guys, which I forgot now their name, which is very bad of me.
Is that Tori guys? Monstra Koza, was that?
Yeah, Kiro and his buddies.
Ah, okay.
They won. Oh, no, they were second. It was the fun thing because it's Elude, who were second, a lot of Breakpoint. And once they were second at Breakpoint, and then Drifters won first place with a gimmick demo, and Clary didn't want to accept the prize because she was like, we shouldn't have won this. And he was always like second, and he won the last Breakpoint. Mm-hmm. And then this year at Revision, he was second to Ghost Town. And it was like the first time he was second, he was like, this is absolutely deserved because the Ghost Town demo is amazing.
Yeah, that was
really cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was like
that was one of the probably the highlight of the Revision.
Yeah, I mean,
it was awesome.
Blueberry doing something bigger than the 1K, mm-hmm. being scared as hell about it as well. And of course, there was the beautiful demo that Bright Light did, like the kind of like letting go of. God, I'm horrible with groups tonight.
There was Scarla was one, there was third.
Scarla was Scarla had the soundtrack that was really funny. He did go like Scarla. it was a good demo, but it was the vocal was a bit awkward, and it was kind of funny to go like Scarla. And was it called
the demo?
Yeah,
that was called the Massive.
A Massive Scarla, and he was just repeating that, and it sounded really funny. It was great fun. It was great fun. It was. I'm not hating on it, but it was funny. But yeah, it was. Decadence Swan Song was a beautiful demo as well. And for me, my high point in Revision, now I see that I have the results, was Higher Lyrics, the animation, which is one guy basically. It's Cosmic. It's Ollie.
Ah, oh, yes.
He made a Waldhammer called The Lacquer, and I was somewhat drunk when I was watching it, and on the big screen, it really made an impact to me, because it's like a one-guy production, and it was very Chris Cunningham-based, but it was so well done, and I was like swept away with it, like, this is like, really good, what you did by yourself was like amazing. Mm. So I fanboyed, I didn't know what it was, so I talked to Gopher, and he was like, oh, it's Cosmic, I'll get it. I talked to him like a fan, like, oh, that was amazing. And it's like quiet German guy going, okay, thanks, I guess, go away, you're scaring me. But yes.
After, did you go to any other party after revision? I mean, of course, at Evoke.
I went to Evoke because I didn't go to assembly.
Right.
Which was, I couldn't make it this year because of work and stuff that happens, as it does. But it had some, I think it had some proper stuff going around. That was the 64K at assembly from Fairlight and Alcatraz.
Of course, yeah.
Go for Synth, and that actually great. Went into the demo component and came second, which is, of course, pretty impressive for a 64K. So yep. That was cool. And Spin by ASD, which I will not say things about because I don't really like it that much. I'm sorry, Navis, you make cool demos, but that one wasn't really my thing. But have you seen anything from the last year demo-wise?
Yeah, I've seen pretty much all the demos, but I mean, from the big parties and all the releases that are, you know, that should be seen, I'm mostly seeing those. But I'm just not that much commenting and reading threads and all that, so it's just, I'm just consuming the
don't read threads, especially not on Puet, which is, I mean, just watch demos, which is fuck demos.
There's something coming out, and no, I'm really following that, and it's always great to see new stuff being done, you know, even though you think, I mean, particularly when you don't read threads or forums and whatever, and you just, you know, check the releases from parties, you get lost in the all the jokes, and you don't follow the jokes at all, and you don't follow, you know, at some point you don't understand anymore what's going on. And you also don't, you know, you don't feel the hype from the pre-party phase, you know. Usually you always get excited before the party, and you know what kind of stuff is coming in, and that's a bit of the downside, because you don't, you are not involved that much. But then it's even more exciting to see that there's still stuff being made, and then seeing the releases and you know, and seeing the demos that people worked on for many months. So,
now what's the thing? What's the one that stuck with you for like the last year, basically, like 2011?
Oh, that's difficult. Yeah, I mean, the usual suspects, really. I mean, anything from Farbrush, Smash, and Navis basically always catches attention.
It does. And,
yeah, of course, the Ghost Town demo was great.
Yeah, that was really cool. And I really like, because speaking about revision and then demos, because at the Gathering this year, there were some amazing demos released.
Mm.
The Play Psycho demo.
Yeah.
It actually won over Smash's demo there. Over the usually it's called Smash's demo because it's like only he made it, like the desktop and the musicians as well, like Smash did it, but it's not really fair because it's like desktop is a huge part of it as well. But we Crave Sustenance from Play Psycho, that's a massive demo as well.
Absolutely.
With this new music called Dubstep. Is it actually dubstep? It's really difficult now to say, is it dubstep or not? But you know what it is, right? You're an old man.
Yeah.
You keep this music that goes...
Yeah, I was sitting in the music comp at Evoke, so I was I was following... How do you pronounce this guy? Glixabit?
Glixabit.
Glixabit.
I think he did drum and bass this year. Oh, but last year, when he blew away...
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, goddamn, that track, yeah, that's the Able 2029.
Yep, that was...
I remember meeting him at Evoke, and I did ask him, because he makes drum and bass, mostly. I'm like, I have something, but it's not drum and bass. I'm like, oh, fair enough. And his track came on, and it was massive. It's this industrial dubstep track, and it's massive. And he was just like, everybody was going like, whoa, and he was sitting in the crowd going, yeah. And Xerxes came to me, because he was there as well. And he came to me like, who made this? What the hell? And like, it's the dude over there. And he's like, can I go talk to him and tell him I like it? I'm like, dude, sure. Like, why do you ask me? He's like, go and tell him. But he is an amazing, Glickler is an amazing musician. And he makes like this very powerful stuff. And that track was like, it blew like the entire hall away. And he won with like double the votes from the second place or something like that. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember sitting next to him at the Evoke compo, and the compo at Evoke was one of the best music compos on the standards. I think this year was a really good mixture of tracks in that compo, and we were sitting there with Xerxes and Jester, you know.
Yeah, he was there, which is great fun. Yeah,
and then we were like you know, talking about this track, and we were like, how do you do? Because at some point in Glicksplit's track, towards the end, the bass is coming into this low hoovering sound, like again, you know, it's like, yeah. Basically you can hear the whole bass like basically in your whole body, and then we're like, Xerxes and Chester were like, whoa, how do you do this stuff, like, and it was really interesting to be
talking. And he's always really modest about it as well,
like, yeah, he's just grinning there like, yeah, right.
I do my mixing in a triangle and like level everything low and crank up the higher frequencies. It sounds so fucking amazing. It's like, how? But it was really fun meeting Jester at Evoke as well. Like, a guy, he hadn't been to a party for 16 years.
Yeah, we were saying that the last time I met him was in Luxembourg in 1991. No, in 1990, I think.
That
was
wow.
In pretty much, yeah, 20 years.
Yeah, because you're a bit old, but you turned 39, I think, at Evoke.
Right.
And you were like, yeah, in your 30s as well, right?
Yeah, I'm 36.
36, yeah, so you're a bit older than I am. So yeah, you were allowed to go to parties in 1990. I wasn't, because I was like 11 at the time.
Right. And it was funny, because last year at the previous Evoke, we were like talking on Scenesat, because we were making these interviews with Brainstorm guys and all that. And then I saw that Chester was in the IRC chat. So I was like asking Sifford, is it that Chester?
and
he was like, yeah. And because we were writing letters to each other back in the Amiga days, you know, like swapping tunes. And
nice, yeah.
It was we knew each other from back then, but then lost sight of each other from in between. And then I saw him in the IRC chat, and that was like surreal. And then I was talking to him, saying, well, next year you gotta come, because he wanted to come in 2010 already, and but didn't make it for some reasons. And so last year, or this year before Evoke, I was again writing to him like, this year you're gonna be there, right? And he said, yes, still planning, still looking good. And so yeah, it turned out he showed up, and it was funny to see him again after 20 years.
Yeah. I met him for the first time, and as McShurkey's and Romeo and I stole many of his samples back then. Mm. So I had a great chat with him about the demo scene. He's a very nice dude.
Yep, very much.
Really, really good fun. And I think we should play a Jester song.
Right, so what's that gonna be?
And if it's up to me, it has to be Cyberride.
All right.
I love Cyberride.
Let's run with that one. Yes. Here you go, Cyberride.
That was Cyberride by Jester, and he's back, and I hope he's gonna make music for us again.
Some point, maybe.
Yeah, because McXerxes and Romeo Knight came back, and they became really, really active in Brainstorm.
So we'll see what comes out. But I think Chester is more into experimental music these days. So I'm not sure. I haven't heard his new stuff that he done under Odd Job, his new nickname.
Oh yeah, it's Odd Job. That's right.
And he does well. He's mostly busy with his net label, Ideology. And so yeah, we'll see what comes out of that. He's working on legal stuff there and running the net label. And I guess,
and speaking about net labels and about old dudes, at Revision, Hoffman came back. In the Amiga days, he was known as Stripfish, I think.
Okay.
And he's this British musician, and he also was like the first demo party in like 20 years. He came to Revision. He did a breakbeat set at Revision, and he has a breakbeat label, Unstable Label, which he revived now in his net label, and is back doing music for the scene. And he's completely like, I didn't know what was still going on, and it's amazing, and I'm gonna do stuff. And that was really cool.
Yeah, Chester was saying the same. Like, he's amazed that basically it still feels like home when you get there, and that he's welcomed that warmly. And
that's the thing about the demo scene. That's why we're still doing it, right? I mean, it's still that feeling that you go to a party and people you haven't seen for a year or 2 years or like 20 years, mm-hmm. if they're there, it's like, it's all good.
Absolutely, yeah. It was equally fantastic to see, like, back then at Breakpoint when Andromeda was returning.
Yeah.
There was, and everyone, like, seeing the credits fly through, and they were like, whoa, yeah, Hyde, Archmage, yeah. It was,
Because that was the demo at the Gathering this year from Dead Roman.
Yeah.
Spheres on the Plane.
Mm-hmm.
If you mix the letters of Dead Roman around.
Yeah.
You get Andromeda.
Yeah.
Very cryptic, that is.
How magical.
The magical. They did it on purpose, I think.
You must have.
There was Hyde and Gloom doing this like very experimental sound design demo. It was really
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff at the Gathering this year. Like the fantastic demo from Fairlight, but also the stuff from Dead Roman and I'm forgetting people. Bleb Psycho already mentioned was amazing. Even the guys from Fairlight were like, yeah, they won, but it's at the gathering, it's their party, and it was a massive demo, so of course they win. It's what happens. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was the gathering. Yeah, and I went to Trusac for the first time.
Okay.
This year.
How was that?
It's a fun party. I had to pay back because the Danes, they always go to Outline now. And it was fun as well this year. We had a great party, and then the Danes are always there with a bigger delegation every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I managed to combine it with my holiday and visiting my little cousin.
Right.
I like to brag about because he worked for Lego. So I went to Billund.
You got some Lego bricks.
I brought back a shitload. I'm not going to talk about it because people get tired of me talking about Lego. But it was really fun because I'm still a bit of a fan. And being Billund is nothing. It's the smallest city in the world, basically.
Mm.
And everything is revolving around that. But it's very inspiring. And I was lucky enough to meet a lot of people who work with designers for Lego. And
do they build houses there with wood?
Well, it's brick, but yeah, well, imagine the smallest city you can imagine. Like, I think it's about 15,000 people in the entire city, and everybody basically either works for Lego or in the city to supply things for people that work for Lego.
How awesome would it be to have every house built with Lego there?
Yeah, it was so funny when my cousin is talking about it, that he lives in a Lego house because it was supplied to him by Lego. It's in my mind, you live in a house made of bricks. It's horrible. but that's training. I was there and I managed to go to Trusac, but I was also lucky enough because Punctured of Fnook did this thing, which I really, really liked the idea. He organized a trip in Copenhagen the day before Trusac on the Thursday. Because he was like, for foreign people, that come into Denmark, go to a demo party, you go to a different country, but you're stuck in a gym hole or some hole for 3 days. You have no idea where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, I'm going to do this. You can come to my place the day before. I'll buy beers from the area. I'll supply food. I'll take you out into town, show you the sights in Copenhagen. We can crash at my place at night, watch demos, have food. And then on Friday, we drive to Trusac. And I thought that was a really cool idea. I want to show you guys what Denmark is about instead of just going to Trusac. So I went to Copenhagen.
That's a new approach.
Yeah, it's but very welcome. I came the day early and in his house and with his wife and his very cute dog that he has. He's a dog called Fnook. his wife wanted a dog and he was like, I'm only allowing, because he already had a cat, I'm only allowing a dog if you call it after my group.
She was like, how awesome.
A little dog called Fnook, which is amazing. And Sunspire joined us as well. He came from Bremen. And Andreas, this guy, is a new member from Fnook. Mm-hmm. And we went into town on a Thursday and he showed us around the sites in Copenhagen. It was really, really nice. So thanks again to Punctured for doing that. It was really, really good fun. You're actually experiencing the country a bit more.
How many people were there?
At what? At the pre-event? That was five of us. And he wants to do it again next year. And I recommend everybody, if you have an extra day, go early and do this because it's really fun. And the fun thing is that Sunspire was there and Sunspire is now organizing it in Bremen for TUM.
Okay.
He's in Bremen and he goes if people want to do this, I can have people over in Bremen and show you around in the city and have beers.
Right.
And then go to TUM together.
And then he'll have 50 people in his house and...
Yeah, it was a bit scared for that. If you hear this and it's on time, then try to do it because I can't make it. I can't make TUM again with time and end of the year and deadlines and shit. But it's really cool that it's getting picked up and I'm actually thinking about doing something like that for Outline and showing people around Nams now.
Okay. So you'll be getting 100 people in your house.
Yeah, 100 people.
In that huge apartment that you got.
Yes, that's so big that I can reach everything from my chair here. We'll find a way. But it's really fun, this thing. And then we went to Trusac on a Friday. And Trusac is in Aarhus. And it's this it's a pretty small city. And it's a small but very nice atmosphere party. I think it's about 100 something people, maybe even less.
And what does Trusac stand for?
It used to stand for the Real Scene Event After Christmas.
Oh, that makes sense.
So that's why it's in October.
Yeah, of course.
Because that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's organized by the Loonies guys and the dub guys, most actually Purix and Warf and all the other guys. And they're a great group of dudes. They know how to run. I mentioned on the Scene Side interview I did with Zephyr, Snaps is everywhere at this party. You will drink. And they even managed to get free beer because the beer is somewhat expensive. And they run it in this sporting hall where they have the bar open for very long, which is really cool. These people manning the bar for us. cost and you can buy a beer. But they had the Psycho's company sponsored beer for the demo compos at free beer. It was amazing. And I've never seen like a compo team getting dead hammered on schnapps and beer and still like performing all the compos on time and like managing this party. So that was really cool. And they had the, I mean, all the snaps, and they did this thing on the Saturday morning where they went running for 5 kilometers. They had a run organized, of course, by Farfar, who is an avid runner. And they started with like hitting snaps and then running for 5 kilometers and then coming back. And then they had to drink more snaps.
Oh, Jesus.
Which sounds like the perfect way of starting a demo party.
I would be asleep already on my return, I think.
But yeah, I got really drunk on Friday. I still apologize to the people. I especially apologize to Dwarf for ruining his quiz. Drunk shoes at him because I was that drunk. And he was like, I don't want you like in the teams because you're way too drunk. And then he asked Havoc to have a team. And he's like, okay, Havoc, who's going to be on your team? He's like, Oki. And I was like, oh, fuck. Dwarf was like, no, not Oki. And then I was there.
Did you say you were ruining his shoes?
Nice show by throwing shoes. I was throwing my shoes. Okay. I'm not sure. I was really pissed. Like, I got really drunk really quickly.
Because if you ruined his shoes, I would be really interested in what that was all about.
No, I didn't.
I was doing it in his shoes. Yeah.
I was like, puked on his shoes. But
you would never do that. Like, any senior would never do that.
It's a rule. You don't puke on another man's shoes.
What's the relation between scene events being held in sports halls? That might be an interesting thing to evaluate.
I think that's actually because it's like the one location in your city that's big enough to house a lot of people and pretty cheap to rent in the weekend, probably.
Oh, you think the scene parties aren't sports events?
They are in a way. They're competitions. I mean, you're not that active, like bodily moving, but still. I think it's probably because they're around. I mean, you can very quickly, if you want to organize a demo party in your own area, it's very easy to get. Because Dresak does take sporting hall and they have a small room in it. And there was actually guys playing inside football in the big room during the party when we were blasting dubstep. And it was like really awkward. People, like the foreign people, were cheering at these football players. These guys were like, what the fuck is going on? This is so weird. But it was very like well stocked, and it was a great fun party. I mean, they fun compos, and of course the Pants Off is amazing.
Legendary Pants Off.
Yes, and lots of foreign people. We had quite some Dutch people there. Havok came, and Mali and his friends, and there were some Norwegians. The first time I actually met Menace, who was a very nice dude.
Right.
And it was a good, it's a great...
Hi,
great,
Ken. Hmm? Yeah, Menace. Yeah, just saying. I was just greeting Menace, that's all.
Oh, yeah. He's good. Very friendly. And lots of other friendly people that I met.
Right.
I should
seems a good party.
So let's play some music from Dresak, and I say, I have no idea. Something from... Let's play something from Purex. I leave it up to Vincenzo.
The mystery man behind the window is going to pick one.
Yes. So, okay. Music from Purex. Okay, so this was probably dubstep. And I think I have no idea why the Danes have this obsession with dubstep. It's a big thing.
Yeah, and it's venturing into pop music now. Have you figured that out?
Yeah, it's of course, when something is popular and it becomes this kind of known trope in music, then Britney Spears will have it in her song. And you have dudes like Skrillex, which take like the dubstep and transform it into this music that's just loud. And then people enjoy it. But it was fun, actually. The music component was like, was really, really good.
The music equipment was... I mean, wasn't it Punctured who actually said that it was the best audio equipment he had?
It was amazing. And they did the 64K for Fnuk.
And they were hammered as well?
Yes, of course. But Punctured, the song is an amazing song as well that he did for the 64K for Fnuk. And it really came out well. And I loved as well that Ferris was there. He's the American guy that now is in Norway.
Yes, very nice guy.
And he is very friendly young man. And he did a song, and it was a very like proper dubstepish song. And Dwarf got like really annoyed, like, you're not just a coder, you're also a musician? Fuck! It's unfair.
Yeah, Ferris is having too many talents to be fair. So it's
great dude. He's such a young, like, enthusiastic guy, and great fun.
Yeah, I met him the first time at Evoke. And that was pretty fun because Xerxes was introducing me to him, and he said, well, we should talk and blah blah blah. And I was watching his stuff that he does on the Game Boy, you know, hooked up with his other equipment, and showing me a song that he made, and that was really really good with samples and everything, and I was like, how do you even start doing that? You know, it's just
he's pretty young as well. Like, he's young. Yeah. He's 19.
Exactly, and he was at some point. Xerxes was coming back and checking on our conversation, blah blah blah. He was like, Xerxes was pretty drunk as well at that point, and then we were talking about this, and then Xerxes mentioned my name again, Axel, and then Ferris was like, what, Axel, the guy who Amiga blah back then, and he was like, man, I ripped samples from you back then.
As you always say,
that was the point when he realized what, you know, what we were talking about, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's cool
to see that.
And he's, because he's an American dude. I think he's from Arizona.
I don't know actually. Iowa.
He told me, but he moved to work at the Outrax office.
Right. Yeah.
Because he wanted to be closer to the scene. Like, there's not much happening in the United States, and he was
That's
like,
"That's the way to go, right?"
Yeah. And I want to participate in this, and that means that I have to go. And he's going to stay for another year.
That's quite some sacrifice you're doing there.
Yeah, but he just really, really enjoys it, and he's really good as well. He's a Nazareth member now, and they do really cool stuff. So there's new blood that we're very happy to have around.
Absolutely. Fast forward to today. The documentary about the scene.
Yes, we should talk about that as well, because there's a lot of stuff happening in the scene right now.
Yes, now we're like back to today.
It's after podcast catching up for a year.
The podcast is becoming relevant again.
Somewhat. People have heard stuff they already knew. but yeah, that's the Hungarians made a documentary called Mole Men 2.
What is it with Mole Men?
I think it's underground-ish stuff. But it seems to be... Have you seen the opening of the documentary?
Yes, I have.
All right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it looks like a really interesting documentary about this, like, underground artistical movement. People making stuff. So they're trying to get showings, like, all over Europe, all over the world. If you manage to be able to catch it.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about getting something organized here in Switzerland as well. Because I think... the idea is good. And basically, what they should do is... pitch it to TV stations. No, I mean, if you send this to, I mean, TV stations would buy this. No, I mean, even if it's,
well, it depends how niche it is, but I think, I mean, documentary festivals and stuff like that, like trying to get it running. And they're doing that. I mean, they're talking in Holland as well to people, like trying to get it somewhere on a screen, and it would be like, it looks decent. I want to see it as well. Like, it looks really, really cool, and having like a proper documentary about, especially the Hungarian scene, what happened there, like in the C64 Amiga days to the PC days to now. But I think it probably transcends to like every like scene everywhere, basically. That it's all pretty much the same. So it's probably interesting for everybody to watch. So if you manage to, if you can help them out as well, like contact Gargai or the other guys to see if you can help them out having a showing of it, because that would be really cool.
Absolutely. I think it was also, it's really professionally made, I think, and it really does not stand behind any other show that you're seeing on TV. I mean, the way it's cut and everything, it's really well done, and I think that's why it should be picked up by
itself. Like, it, and there's a very nice collage of demos, and they go pretty in depth, and it has Truck in it as well, which is like just a rambling, like,
and that's why everyone should pick it up.
A rambling demo scene enigma.
Yeah, I think it's really well done. Have you seen any, the first part of it? What was the first documentary?
I think it's not really related to the demo scene. The first is like an underground, like other scenes.
Okay.
Actually, the trends here. Let me click on it. And I'm just going to read Poet to people. That's actually really lame. Just look it up. That's on the, I'll tell you the website.
Man, that's some lame.
Flamefilm.hu.
That's a lame preparation you did there.
What? That I just told
You're just reading what you see on screen.
What we're doing, this is basically what we're doing, people. This is all fake. We have no idea.
It doesn't get better than that.
We're actually not even Axel and Aki, we're just hired actors doing this.
Yeah, we're just sending them scripts and scripts of nonsense. And...
yeah, it's the first Mole Men is about like independent subcultures of both things in the European capital, Budapest. So it's about subcultures, and then the second one is about the demo scene. So it's it's Mole Men 2, and it's flamefilm.hu. Hungry. You can get information on it. And also, I'm going to do a brief pitch for, because there's a Dutch demo scene.
Drum roll.
A Dutch demo scene used to go by the nickname of Screech. He was a musician for RBI, and he's a documentary filmmaker as well. And he made a documentary which has premiered at a film festival here in Amsterdam this weekend. It's called Stories of Lakabeach. It's not like demo scene related, but it's about Sierra Leone, and it's a beautiful documentary. If you can see it, you should watch it. They made the soundtrack themselves as well, which is really cool, and it's especially a demo scene doing something cool. So Stories from Naka Beach, if you stumble on that documentary, go and watch it, it's good. And also Mind Candy.
Stories from a Naked Beach?
Stories from Naka Beach.
Oh, okay. Not, not Naked
Beach. Yeah, it's not really about demo scenes, I'm just doing a bit of a promo here.
That's fine. I mean, Cedar's doing something, it's always legit.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that we were talking about music for it at one point, and he was looking into licensing, and at one point he just brought back instruments from Sierra Leone, and he met his old friend that was a musician, and together they made the soundtrack themselves for the movie, and it's a really cool soundtrack, so it's actually a very cool documentary.
Okay, excellent.
But also, in Demoscene news again, to go back, Mind Candy 3 came out. It's coming out. It's finally done. Phoenix and Posse finally finished the third installment, and probably last installment.
Last?
Yeah, as Phoenix was saying, like, it took us 5 years to get this one done. The next one is going to take us 10 years, and at one point it's a trilogy now, so they're going to leave it at this.
Okay.
What
is the most work on that? I mean,
they collect demos. What they do is, and it's actually pretty cool, is that they have lots of voiceover commentary by the makers of demos.
Okay.
Mind Candy 1 and 2 as well have this. Like, it's amazing to have, Calms did it for the TBL demos, and I remember...
That's great.
The guy from Koma. Oh, nicknames. Vernon did it for the Koma demos. And then the new one as well, they have a Blu-ray and a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And they put, like, all the demos in, like, HD 60 frames per second, optimized for the DVD and for the Blu-ray.
That's great.
But the best of 2003 to 2010... And lots of extras, like voiceover commentary from the makers, and they have like tons on the Blu-ray. They have like tons of seminars from Envision and extras, and it's just nice to have and put it in your with your DVDs. You have like the Mind Candy. You can lend them to a friend and go like, as Preacher says in the chat, like you can lend a DVD to a friend and go like, watch this, it's cool stuff.
Okay,
so it's out.
That's great.
Yeah, it's out, and everybody should buy it, because then all the work they put into it is not for nothing.
Any idea what it costs?
I think it's $20.
Okay, that's fair.
$16 or something like that. You get a DVD and a Blu-ray. And you can go to mindcandydvd.com and pick it up. And it's a very extensive project that these guys have been doing, contacting all the makers of the demos, having a great selection of demos on it, and especially for the voiceover commentary, because those are usually hilarious. And especially, probably TBL is on there as well, if they did one. And because Calms always will go into, like, this is actually fake. Like, what you see here is actually an animation. And it will just ruin the entire experience for you.
Did you say mindcandydvd.com?
Yeah, mindcandydvd.com.
Finding that.
/3. It says here for the third one. Mindcandy DVD. It's one thing.
Yeah, but...
And you can get it on Mass Sound.
Got it.
And it has 40 of the greatest PC demos, as I say here. So, and it's always, I mean, the project is super extensive, and these guys deserve, like, some exposure for it.
That's huge.
For doing it, because it's huge. Like, having everybody record, like, stuff for it, and make sure the demos are, like, recorded in the best way possible, on the best hardware possible.
Right.
To give you the best experience.
So which one are we going to play?
A song from Mind Candy.
Yes.
I say let's just do the popular demo. Now that's a bit like...
Too popular?
Yeah. We've heard that song so
many. Come on, let's go with Moppy.
EX. That's good.
We Sell?
Yeah, let's go with We Sell.
Yeah.
It's an old classic Little Bitcher.
Like...
Yes. Old Little Bitcher / 1 in 10. Malfunction probably in there as well.
Yep. Let's kick it off.
Music from We Sell. And we're back now, all of a sudden. Snap, back, boom, from VSL.
With beer.
With beer, yes. I should get a new one as well.
Yeah, mine's empty as well.
But you have to go with the golf cart all the way back.
Nah, that sucks. Because it takes so much, you know, energy to drive all the way.
I can just grab one now and keep talking to you. And I'm a little bit far away.
So you're getting it from your heater.
That's my fridge. I don't have a fridge on it. But yeah, so because what happened at Breakpoint, I think Breakpoint, the last Breakpoint, was the first time he came, maybe Tomohiro came from Japan, the farthest traveling demo scener ever, pretty much. And these guys now come, I mean, he came by himself, and then he came, I think at Breakpoint he came by himself, and at Revision he brought his friends. And at Evoke, they were there as well. And these guys fly from Japan to Europe for a demo party for a weekend, which is amazing.
And they were enjoying it a lot, and it was great for them to. I mean, particularly for Q, who made his first production there.
Yes.
And he was very excited to show the stuff there, and
It was a very good intro for first intro.
For first, yeah, absolutely, and he was. I mean, he's learning fast, and he's making fast progress as well. So.
And what we should do, because these guys came over and they have a demo party in January.
Yep, that's the Tokyo Demo Fest.
Yes, from the 13th of January to the 14th.
Yeah, it's going
to
be in Tokyo.
Yes.
And in the Akihabara district. And they are accepting remote entries as far as I know.
And yes, they do, and we should. I mean, I think Trek is still pondering on going. And if he goes, then he's amazing.
Really?
If you can make it, you should go, like everybody listening, because I wish I could go to Japan like that easily. But these guys are super enthusiastic, so if you have like an entry for their party, you can have a remote entry. It's tokyo-demo-fest.gpn.org/2012 and then /? Language is English. That might
just Google goddamn Tokyo Demo Fest.
Tokyo Demo Fest 2012, because it's happening in January and these guys are super enthusiastic and need our support, because they have a scene in Japan now and it's growing, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, and the English website has just gone up actually yesterday or so, and so you can find some details there. You can register, and they won't have that many in categories, because they won't have that many entries. But
we can help, of course. And talking about parties, because the Japanese scene is awesome, but also Icons is back.
That was a surprise, no?
Well, yeah, I think because I'm not really sure what the state of Icons was, but I think it was at one point stopped, or the guys didn't want to do it, and now they're back in January. We're in February. I'm quickly trying to find the date, and I can't. Icons. Googling for Icons is not a very good idea.
Well, what are you going to get? Word documents and Excel sheets?
Icons 2012 demo party. It's January the 21st.
That's real time Googling, Eugene.
Yeah, because I'm a master of the internet. It's the Icons Art and Demo Festival. And it's the 21st of January in Helsinki, in Finland. And the entrance fee is only 15 euros.
And they're planning to show the documentary as well, right? So the demo scene one?
I guess.
I think I was reading something about that. I'm not sure how drunk those reports were, but.
it's Finns, so you never know. But the thing is that, unlike a normal demo party, it says here there are no computer seats available, but they're serving alcoholic beverages.
Which, what a surprise!
For Finland, it's actually a big thing. I think that is.
You think so?
Well, I think that at Stream they had, but Assembly is notoriously known for not serving alcohol inside the arena.
What's that all about, actually? I mean,
for Assembly.
Assembly, it's obvious because of the kids. But that's not the general.
I think I think Norway is even worse than that. I think it's the law that you cannot just serve alcohol at a party like that.
Okay.
I don't know if because I think Stream has it as well. I think it's not that uncommon that I make it out to be. But yeah, it's nice that you can, basically. I mean, Assembly is notoriously known for like having to go to Boozably to get drunk.
Right.
Which is annoying, because you want to be inside and have a beer as well, and especially during the compos. So,
Can you imagine an alcohol-free demo party or something?
Well, yeah, I've been to Assembly.
Yeah,
because especially when I was doing Assembly TV, like, I've never been that sober at a demo party. It's like, it's really weird. And then when you go out, you go to Boozably, but you have to make sure that there's beer there, because it's in the woods. If you don't bring your own beer, there's no beer. And NVIDIA sponsors beer for Boozably. Like, every year, there's a dude from NVIDIA in Helsinki dropping off, like...
Accidentally, of course.
Yeah, I think it's arranged from NVIDIA. Like, they do pay for it, but it's not like properly Envision style sponsoring. But they did bring like a dog load of beer and cider to Boozably just to support like the demo scene.
Right. Community sponsoring.
Yes. It's nice. And there's another company, I think one of the companies from a senior that sponsors sausages for the barbecue. Which is like, it's all good, basically. But
that's all it takes, right?
Yeah. Like having a sausage and a beer. But that's the weird thing of Assembly. But still, it's a great party though to be at. I mean, if you've never been, like going at least once, seeing the whole arena filled with kids. And even though it's a gamer party now, like when composer starting, people are like made aware of it, and everybody turns off their screens and go sit on the bleachers and watch compose.
And that works. I mean,
yeah, it does. It's they're very and like it's very respectful how the compose are treated.
That's pretty good, because I would imagine that it's hard to set these rules or basically execute on them.
Well, they're very. I mean, it's been a demo part for that long, and Abbas is always and Pehu are always like we really. Want to be supportive of a demo. We want to make this demo party. They have Assembly Winter.
Right.
January is like a gamer party full on, but Summer Assembly is a demo party. It still is.
Mm.
Even though most seniors are outside getting drunk and only go in for the convo, but still people supply to it because they are still offering like the platform to do.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and it still has its name. I mean, it's still a name that you, I mean, I don't know. Being here from afar, watching Assembly from afar, it's always like one of the big parties to be at, and if you really want to show off, basically.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's still, and yeah, there's still big demos and stuff, big entries being released there.
And of course, the prize money helps.
It is. They have quite some prize money, that's true. I remember I was there when Youth of Rising won the 4K compo with the Cypher,
the
4K. And I took a picture of him. He got a cut because they have like prize ceremonies like during the days. Back then they had like multiple days of compost and then doing prize ceremonies pretty much afterwards. So he already had his prize and it was his big cup and then you got like 4,000 euros or something.
Right.
But I took this picture of like all the notes like in the cup going swag. I just won this.
Okay.
But it helps, and but it's still like it's very true. And they had last year at Assembly. I don't know this year I wasn't there, but last year Kebby came and together with Little Butcher, they brought their PCs and they made a demo like in the scene booth in the outer ring of the arena, and everybody could see how it was done. And there were like quite some gamers being pretty interested in well, how does this work and how do I get started. So there is still people like getting interest peaked about how does this work, and there are quite some demo scenes that started out as gamers. Assembly.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And that's always, I mean, it has been in the same arena for all the time, right? It's never changed location, I think.
No, it's always been there. It's 20 years, young, strong.
It's pretty nice.
20 years. There's kids walking around that are like way younger than Assembly is.
Right.
But it's still, people pick it up and they come as gamers and they go like, oh, we can also create stuff. And that's actually pretty cool. And at the gathering, it's the same thing.
Yeah, true. I was, I actually forgot to say that. I was at Demo Days as well.
Oh, yes.
I want to say to Unlock that he did a great job there with his team. I think the location is superb, and it's. I mean, I was thinking that the old location with this wooden floor and everything was so cozy, and you know, it had its charm, and I thought that would be difficult to top. And with the new location, they have found something really nice. And actually, the setup of the room is better than the previous one, because it's the old one was like very wide. The room basically in front of the big screen, it was very wide, and now it's more like a cinema, going more into the depth, you know, instead
of
width. And so it was really good, and the sound equipment was really good as well. And well, basically, it still maintains its charm, even though the walls are darker and the floor is darker and all that. But still, it has this charm that was really nice. And actually, I remember that my wife was busy on that weekend, and I said, well, I need to go there, because H2O was going there as well, and we were working on stuff together, and I just wanted to meet him in person for first time, and because he's making all the way up here to from France, from the south of France, that is. And I need to get there, so I thought, well, I'm gonna take my kids with me for the first time. So so that was fun, seeing my daughter, who's 20 months, and my son, who's 4 years now. They were like sitting there and watching the screen, and my son was dancing, doing the music combo. He was on the floor, like to the music, clapping in their hands. And that was like, and Marcus, H2O, he had his son with him. And so they were, he was with him, and was playing games and watching the stuff. So it was like, we were talking, we're like, times have changed, haven't they?
So they see more kids, but I think demo parties are actually very friendly places. At Revision and Breakpoint, there were like so many kids. I mean, Syrah and the demos kid, Leo, he's a demo scene veteran at this point.
Yeah.
He's been to so many parties. And he's absolutely not scared of demo scenes at all. Like, at Revision at one point, everybody was waiting for a compo to start. Right. And he had this little bike that he was driving around the hall. And he just stopped, like, straight in front of the big screen. And everybody started applauding. And he was going like, yeah. I think he's like four as well, or five, something like that. Like,
yeah.
He was just going like, yeah. And he just scooted away on his little bike. But it works at Outline as well. One of my friends brings his daughter since she was like three as well, and she's now five or six. And he always brings her Legos, so she has something to do, but it always works. It's really nice. Yeah, I wanted to go to Wensley this year because I've never been. And Unluck is such a great dude. I like always want to go to his party. And this year I planned a road trip with Havok. And we're going to drive all the way to Switzerland. And then his car broke down like 3 days for the party, so we couldn't make it. I was really looking forward to like road tripping all the way there. And he was like, you realize that we're in the car longer than that we're at the party. I'm like, I'm fine with that. I just want to go there. But alas, maybe next year, because I still really want to go to the Unlocks party, because it seems to be really cool. I've never been.
No, yeah, they did a really good job there. And I think I'm definitely going to return next year.
And great. Speaking of Wensley, then we should play the song from the invitation by Ned Poet.
Absolutely.
Because it's an amazing song. My Wensley.
It's so funny because it's so annoying at first, and then suddenly you start humming along and you wonder why, and that's just like...
Exactly Jesus. What a catchy song is all about.
Go away. Go
so away. Let's play it. Let's play Ned Poet's song for the Wensley invitation.
Yes, here goes. Yes. Way to go, Ned Poet.
Bonjour. Buonasera.
And that was the song. It was amazing. Wensley, not my car, not my house, it's my friends. So yes, I think we should maybe, shall we already wind it down a bit? We've been talking for a while.
Yeah, probably. Vincenzo's hard disk is probably going to
explode when he gets back.
And now he's probably going to return and say, I'm sorry, but it didn't record.
That might actually have happened.
So
it could have all been in vain, but hopefully not.
He said he was gone for 30 minutes, and I'm not sure whether he's returned at all.
I had no idea. He was just like, I'm away, I'm recording, and you can talk. And Ed, he says. So
there you see how serious he's taking us. You know, he's just like, well, you go talk, and I'll go take... Whatever,
he's just really bored because he cannot join in.
Nah,
he's just really bored.
Yeah, I think so too. No, he's probably asleep, or you know, he might wake up in the morning and say, they stopped talking.
Finally, they stopped talking, and then we record us.
Well,
yes, that's if true.
But anyway,
yes, I think it was fun for our first podcast again. And let's do this. And okay, let's say that we start in January.
Nah, we're starting in December.
In December already. Yes. Well, then we have to do. We'll arrange it.
whoa. Panic.
I have to go away in December in the first week as well. So then that whole thing might actually shatter for now. But we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll find it.
Let's fix a date like 24th or something.
Of December, yeah. On Christmas. Why not?
Might be popular with the families and all that.
I'll be at my parents' place. They don't mind. That'll be fine. I will figure something out, and I think we should do this, and we should get more guests in the next time as well.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely have guests like your parents, because you'll be at your parents' place.
It would be really funny. Like,
that would be fun.
My friends about the demo scene, they still know too much about it because of me, so that would be really funny.
That would be fun, like talking to your parents about the crimes you've made as a kid at home.
Yeah, but then, as the other way around, I want to hear like a demo review by your kids as well.
Actually, I can tell you one story. It was when we did the Evoke demo for last year, the 2019 demo.
Yeah.
And because it just consists of squares and bubbles that are colored, and it's in the 3D environment. And then my son, he always walked up to me and said, let's watch colors.
Yeah,
because whenever Preacher was sending in a new preview of the demo, I was looking at it, and he, what are you doing? And I'm just looking at this, and you know, watching this thing, and he was like, yeah, let's watch bubbles and colors.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he always thought it was soap bubbles, because he was used to them of, you know, blowing bubbles in the garden or something, and he was like, let's watch colors. And I was like, that was fun.
Yeah, we should get like your son's review on certain demos. You show him a few demos and he tells what they were about. Might be really funny.
We could try that.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
And you'll get an unfiltered critique.
Yes. And the people that make him will know what it's actually about, because a kid always tells the truth.
And drunkards, like...
Kids and drunkards, yeah.
No,
kids.
That's going to be fun. It was fun talking to you again.
And likewise. And I already want to thank Vincenzo for making this do show.
Making it bearable.
And hopefully we can play it on SingSat, if we can get Savoy to do that.
Yeah, and it's going to be on BitJam as well, and on EBGM probably. And so you'll be forced to listen to us. And
yeah. And if you have any complaints, you can email them to Axel. Axel at brainstorm.org. Is that true, actually?
No, actually not. It's brainstorm-brs.com if you want to reach us. Because brainstorm.com is, as you can imagine, quite demanded.
Yes.
Audio studios and film whatever and blah blah advertising agencies. So it's not so
brainstorm-brs.com.
Yeah.
And you can leave tips and suggestions of what we should talk about. And we have guests and we'll prepare better shows. This is the first time again that we just babbled on for hours.
Yeah, so next episode we're going to have guests and we're going to prepare a little and get some turkey leftovers for Thanksgiving.
Parental tips by Axel. How to raise your kids to become demo scenes.
And you'll get your heater. You'll bring your heater along.
I'll sample my heater. Yeah,
some serious dubstepping.
Dubstepping, because dubstep is that easy as it is. And now people get angry at me. No, it's not.
Of course it is.
Prove me wrong and we'll play your song in the show.
All right. So have a good day, folks, and we'll see you soon.
Yes, absolutely, and have a good one.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
News, infos, stuff from all over the sea.
Sign. The radio show with your host Axel and Aki.